are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Monday, everybody. Today, we're going to talk about both Wolves losses from the weekend, and then we'll run through some studs and duds from Sunday's game against the Denver Nuggets, as that is the most fresh game. But of course, we haven't been together since Friday morning's episode of Locked On Wolves prior to Wolves Celtics on Friday. We also got a health update on Karl Anthony Towns during the day on Friday. We already knew it wasn't going to appear in either game this weekend, but at least now there's a bit more specificity when it comes to his injury and what his prognosis is moving forward. Before we get into the game themselves, a quick reminder to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T to stay up on all of our shows and what's going on around the Wolves. On Friday, the Wolves went out and competed hard against the Boston Celtics, who, of course, are a consensus top five team in the league. With both teams well-rested coming out of the All-Star break, the Wolves really did give Boston all that they could handle until late in the fourth quarter. This is a game that the Wolves, I mean, without Towns, Russell did play on Friday. It was fair to assume that they'd get blown out. They did end up losing by 10, but until Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward especially like really locked down late in the game, the Wolves were definitely in things. So after the first quarter, the Wolves were only down four. They were down seven at halftime. Malik Beasley had a nice a three-pointer he hit at the buzzer of the second quarter to pull the Wolves within seven. And then it was still six at the start of the fourth. So the Celtics were never really able to pull away by double digits and keep a double-digit lead until early in the fourth quarter. But then Minnesota still fought back, coming all the way back to make it a two-point game kind of midway through the fourth. And then the Celtics, from that point forward, pushed ahead just a little bit and kept the Wolves, you know, really 2 to 3 possessions back for the rest of the way. Gordon Hayward had 15 points in the third quarter himself. He had 29 on the net on just 15 shots. Jason Tatum had 28 points and 11 rebounds. The biggest issue for the Timberwolves in this game is something that has been an issue really all season, but especially whenever Towns has been out. The Wolves have really struggled on the defensive glass. Minnesota had only 35 defensive rebounds in the Boston game. The Celtics had 16 offensive rebounds. So the Wolves barely had twice as many defensive rebounds as the Celtics had offensive rebounds. The overall rebounding margin was 58-43 in advantage of the Celtics. So just a really tough night for the Wolves on the glass. Without Karl Anthony Towns, Daniel Theis had a big game for the Celtics. He had a career high 25 points and a career high 16 rebounds in only 28 minutes. Enes Kanter only played 9 minutes off the bench, and the Celtics were able to kind of manipulate their lineups however they wanted. The Wolves really couldn't do anything about it. So the Celtics, I mean, they had four guys in the starting lineup that scored 20 or more points, and they only had 10 total points off the bench. They got six from Brad Wanamaker, and he led the way off the bench. Only two other guys scored, but that didn't really matter. Hayward and Tatum especially were really good. Jaylen Brown was pretty good in this game as well. As I mentioned, Daniel Theis had 25 and 16. The Wolves allowed a career game to him, which is obviously pretty disappointing. But the rebounding was the biggest issue. And the Celtics, I mean, the Celtics had a good offensive game. They shot 46% from the field, 35% from beyond the arc. But so much of their damage was done on second chance points in this game. And that was the biggest issue. For the Wolves side of things, they got good games from their best players, sans Towns. Malik Beasley led the way, had 27 points, 10 of 18 shooting. He was 4 of 8 beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds, only had 2 turnovers in 36 minutes, was a plus 1 for the game in a game that the Wolves lost by 10. Similarly, Naz Reid had 19 points, 9 rebounds, 7 of 15 shooting, 2 of 5 beyond the arc, 3 steals, and he was also a plus 3. They were the only two Wolves starters to be positive plus minus in this game. Reid did have 5 personal fouls. We're going to get into that related to Sunday's game because he's had 5 fouls in each of the last two games, and that has been an issue for him. But he did manage to play 33 minutes and was really good when he was on the floor. D'Angelo Russell was okay. He had 18 rebounds, 13 assists, and only 3 turnovers, 6 rebounds. He only shot 5 of 16 from the floor, and a lot of that was because he was 1 of 9 from beyond the arc. He did attempt 8 free throws, which was the high so far in his young Timberwolves career, and he made 7 of them. So you take out those 3-pointers, and he shot, 4 of 7 inside the arc and 7 of 8 from the free throw line. And I think he made his first 3-point attempt in the game and missed his last 8, if I remember right. So, an okay game from Russell. They need more scoring out of him if Towns is going to be out. But the Wolves are still in position to be competitive down the stretch. Should also mention Juancho Hernan Gomez had 17 points, 5 rebounds. He was 4 or 5 beyond the arc. So he continued his streak of hot shooting in a Timberwolves uniform. And so those are the best, I guess, 3 players or 4 players on the floor for the Wolves. The bench didn't do a whole lot. McLaughlin had 11 points in 14 minutes. James Johnson had 9 points, 6 rebounds, 4 blocks, but again, had a really bad plus minus, which I really struggle with single game plus minus, but a minus 19 is really significant in a game like this. 21 minutes off the bench when Naz Reid, who effectively James Johnson was the backup center, Naz Reid in 33 minutes on the floor, had a plus 3. So there's a little something there, but it's unclear what exactly. I think just Reed's dynamic play on offense matters quite a bit. Neither player rebounded the ball terribly well. Nobody on the Wolves had, I mean, Reed had 9 rebounds. The second leading rebounder was D'Angelo Russell, and James Johnson tied with 6 rebounds, whereas the Celtics had, Jason Tatum had 11, Daniel Tice had 16 off the bench. Enes Kanter had 7 rebounds in 9 minutes, and the Wolves didn't have anybody except for Reed have more than 7 rebounds. So that, as mentioned, was a huge issue in this game, to be sure. But all that to say, the Wolves, I mean, the silver lining here is the Wolves were actually really competitive and played very hard. It was just, you could tell that the Wolves were playing a lot harder than what we were used to seeing prior to the trade deadline. It was a sellout crowd at Target Center. I think it was the 3rd straight sellout. And so, you know, that surely helped. And Beasley's an energetic guy, was getting the crowd into things. Helped have D'Angelo Russell on the floor, but the Wolves genuinely competed. And I know that that's, you know, just a classic silver lining, but it's also not something that we could say about the Wolves for stretches during the Towns injury, during the 2 long losing streaks, right around when the trade rumors were out there. This team genuinely competed, worked hard. And that matters. I think that's something that we can definitely pay attention to moving forward. And it's something we also saw on Sunday, which we'll get into here in a minute. All right, next up, we'll talk about Sunday's game, and then we will do studs and duds for Sunday's game in Denver. Before we do that, though, I did want to mention our friends at Indeed. When you start your hiring process, you may have questions. Will you find good applicants to choose from? What about education and experience? And how will you know that you've made the right hire? Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post a job in minutes and use screener questions to help create your shortlist of applicants fast. Also, add skills tests to your job posts so you can be confident in your applicants' abilities. Their library of more than 50 skills tests ranges from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the smart tools to make hiring decisions quickly and to be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job today at Indeed.com/lockedon and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's Indeed.com/lockedon. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Offer valid through March 31st, 2020. Prior to Wolves-Celtics on Friday, the Timberwolves released a statement about Karl-Anthony Towns' wrist injury. Coming out of the All-Star break, the Wolves had just, it was really just a comment by Ryan Saunders in media availability. I think it was on Wednesday when Saunders noted that Towns would be out for multiple games, and I think he used the word indefinitely. Someone did along the way. So the idea was that Towns would certainly be out a week, you know, maybe a little longer. The team came out on Friday and added some more specifics to the report, admitting that Towns did, upon further evaluation, that they'd confirmed that he has a wrist fracture after a period of treatment and monitoring for the Wolves medical staff. Remember, he missed the last game before the All-Star break, which makes me think that perhaps, and this is me, it's not in the statement, in the press release from PR, but clearly there was some swelling, et cetera. They needed to wait for it to go down. They needed to just kind of let him rest over the All-Star break. And then when they went back in there and looked, it doesn't specifically say he had another MRI, but the initial report prior to the All-Star break was that he was going to have another MRI. It must be a pretty minor fracture. They're only saying that he'll be out for 2 weeks and then will be reassessed at that time. It says he's been assessed by multiple specialists, et cetera, et cetera. So, expect at this point, close to a week and a half from now, there to be another update on Towns' injury, whether or not he'll stay out longer, whether he'll return to the court. There's a report by John Krasinski of The Athletic over the weekend that Towns wants to come back and play, which makes me think that the team considered shutting him down for the season. but it sounds like Towns really wants to get back and play with D'Angelo Russell. He's excited about playing with Malik Beasley, you know, some of these new guys on the roster, James Johnson, and of course, Juancho Hernangómez, and kind of this new look rotation that the Wolves have. And, you know, it makes, and rightfully so. I mean, the Wolves should try and get him back on the court. If it's a wrist injury and they wait for it to heal, there's not, theoretically, there's no risk of re-injury. It's not like he's pushing a hamstring issue or an ankle issue or something like that. This would be a bone that would heal and Towns could come back and play no issue. So I wouldn't expect it to be only the 2 weeks. I would expect it to be longer. But it sounds like Towns really does want to come back, and the Wolves should allow him to come back if at all possible, because they need to see what this Towns-Russell fit's going to look like, and also how guys like Malik Beasley and Juancho Hernangómez fit with Karl-Anthony Towns and James Johnson for that matter. As the first two of those guys from the Nuggets that the Wolves acquired from the Nuggets are restricted free agents this summer. James Johnson has an option on his contract for next year that he'll surely accept. It's like, I don't know, 17 or 18 million or something. And so the Wolves will need to decide if he fits the roster next year, or if they try and move him in a deal as an expiring contract this summer or sometime during the season last year. So it's important that the Wolves see what all those fits look like moving forward. So I'd expect Towns to do his best to get back on the court sooner rather than later. All right, moving on to talk about Wolves Nuggets on Sunday. It was a weird 4 p.m. Mountain Time tip on Sunday, which was 5 p.m. Central, and the game was broadcast on NBA TV. D'Angelo Russell sat out due to rest. It was apparently a planned rest day with the back-to-back on the road in Dallas on Monday. Also, knee soreness apparently was mentioned for D'Angelo Russell as well. And then Allen Crabbe unexpectedly missed the game for personal reasons. So the Wolves only had 9 available players. They called up Jalen Noel from the G League. And there was, of course, no true backup point guard either. So a little bit of a weird rotation, a weird roster available. To make matters worse, the Wolves got into really bad foul trouble early in the game. Juancho Hernangómez picked up 2 personal fouls in the first 3 minutes. Naz Reid picked up 2 in like the first 6 or 7 minutes. So both those guys were off the floor, and they were the only, other than James Johnson, the only two true fours or fives, you know, only true front court players on this roster that were available. And then the Wolves also were in the bonus, the Nuggets were in the bonus super early in the first quarter, which hurt the Wolves as well. But Minnesota competed, especially offensively. The Nuggets were shooting some crazy percentage. They made like their first 9 shots from the field, but the Wolves still managed to stay in it and were scoring and keeping pace with the Nuggets. And we're tied at 38 right in the final minute of the first quarter, but then the Nuggets went on a mini run and scored a couple of buckets late in the quarter. The Wolves had a silly turnover right before the end of the quarter, and so the Nuggets are at 43-38 at the end of the first frame. But the Wolves, again, competed and played hard even with this weird rotation that they had going on. By halftime, the Wolves were down by 8. It felt like the Nuggets could run away, but they never really did. Minnesota, I don't think they got closer than 5 in the fourth quarter, but this was one of those games where Minnesota hung around. They competed. They made the Nuggets really try to win this game, and they didn't fold like they may have, you know, even just 3 weeks ago prior to all the trades that the Wolves went through. The Wolves got really good games. We'll get into studs and duds individually here in a little bit. But if you look at the second quarter, the Wolves were down. It was a double digit lead early in the second quarter by the Nuggets. And then Minnesota went on a quick 17-8 run, and actually grabbed a brief lead themselves. But then Naz Reid picked up his 3rd foul in the second quarter. And to that point, the Nuggets actually hadn't gotten any second chance points in the game, which for a team that, remember, they'd been out-rebounded by the Celtics by like 15 or 18 rebounds on Friday night. And the Wolves were competing on the glass. Granted, both teams were shooting a really high percentage, so there were less rebounds available. But the Nuggets didn't have any second chance points until that middle of the second quarter stretch when Reid exited the game after he grabbed his 3rd foul. It was actually a play the Wolves challenged to try and get the foul called on Josh Okogie instead of Naz Reid. But the play was upheld, the foul was called on Reid, and he had to leave the game. And then the Nuggets quickly, back-to-back possessions, got putbacks, went on a 7-1 run of their own, grabbed the lead back, and then rebounding was just, even really just for that stretch. For the game, the Nuggets only had 5 offensive rebounds, but 2 of them were during that second quarter stretch when they grabbed the lead back. And for the game, both teams only had 38 rebounds. The Nuggets shot 59% from the field. The Wolves shot 44.5% from the field. The shooting was good enough that rebounding wasn't as big of an issue for the Wolves, but that even that mini stretch in the second quarter with Naz Reid off the floor was really tough for the Timberwolves. All right, next up, we're going to talk studs and duds from this game, and then just a super quick look at Wolves-Celtics on Monday, Wolves-Mavericks on Monday, and who's available and not available for both teams, and that'll be it for today's show. All right, putting a bow on Wolves-Nuggets with studs and duds from the game. The Wolves didn't really have anybody that had outstanding individual performances. Keelan Martin had 19 points by halftime and was just he was super confident, and it felt like he was shooting the ball about every time he touched it, but it didn't really matter. He had 19 at halftime, kept the Wolves in the game, but he only had 2 points after halftime. I still think the body of work gives him a stud designation for this game, given that he still led the team in scoring with 21 off the bench. Ultimately, he shot 7 of 15 off the bench, 3 of 8 from beyond the arc, 4 of 4 at the free throw line. He only had 4 rebounds in 30 minutes, and he did play some minutes at the 4 just with how shorthanded the Wolves were, with James Johnson basically playing the backup center role. Martin was a plus 3 in 30 minutes in a game that the Wolves lost by 12. So overall, a strong game from the two-way player. I would expect him to get more run here soon. Remember, he had a couple of strong games back in like December. There was that game in Utah. He had an awesome game. And then he went through a cold stretch, spent a lot of time in the G League again. And I would expect him to be back with the big club more often here down the stretch of the season. But I would go ahead and give him a stud award, mostly just for his first half performance. But all around, still a solid game. Malik Beasley, I kind of expected a little more out of him in his return to Denver, just with his attitude and the way he plays. But he still had a solid game, 17 points, 8 rebounds. He only had 1 turnover in 34 minutes and shot 6 of 13 from the floor, 2 of 5 from beyond the arc. The Nuggets did a great job of running him off the three-point line and playing, really anticipating all the Wolves sets that they run to try and get Beasley those quick catch-and-shoot threes, mostly from really around the top of the arc, kind of straight away there. And the Nuggets were in his grill every time he caught the ball, and Beasley only had, I think, one of those catch-and-shoot threes that he was able to get off, certainly only one that he made. And, had a couple in transition that he probably typically would make. And 2 of 5 is not bad, but the Wolves need to get him more than 5 3-point attempts a game, which is what he has been doing to this point. But clearly the Nuggets know Beasley the best, as he spent the first 3-plus years of his career there, and they did a really good job keeping him in check for the game. That said, he was still one of the more dynamic players for the Wolves, had a couple of strong transition buckets as well. So he gets awarded a stud for this game. Also, Jordan McLaughlin, who started, he had to play. He tied with Beasley with a team-high 34 minutes, had 15 points, 10 assists, shot 5 of 9 from the field, 2 of 4 from three-point range. 3 turnovers, and was a minus 17, which was the worst mark among the Wolves starters, but he also had to play with essentially the starters and the reserves, as he was the only available point guard. Jarrett Culver was good in the second half of the game. First half, he had a really rough stretch, and so the Wolves kind of measured his minutes actually running the points, I think, after that first half stretch when Culver really struggled. But overall, McLaughlin had another really good game, and he's definitely making a case to stick to get his two-way deal converted to a full, regular NBA contract, and potentially even have a shot at making the team next year. I'm still not sure he's a true backup point guard for a team with playoff aspirations, but at the very least, he's a third guard. And there's certainly still a little bit of upside, even though he's an older rookie, having been a 4-year player in college and spending last year in the G League. But there's still a little bit of upside, and he's a nice player and has been a lot better lately than what I expected. So another good game from Jordan McLaughlin. Also an honorary stud to Naz Reid when he was on the floor. We're also going to give Naz Reid, this is kind of a good segue into the duds, because Naz Reid's game was essentially, when he was on the floor, he was really good, but he couldn't stay on the floor. He picked up those 2 early fouls in the first quarter, picked up a 3rd in the second, ultimately only played 22 minutes in this game because of foul trouble. But when he was on the court, he was really, really good, which is exactly what we've seen from Naz. 13 points, 5 rebounds, an assist and a steal in 22 minutes, but he had 5 personal fouls. He did shoot 5 of 12 from the floor. He was a plus 2 in his 22 minutes and was a good player on the floor. We've seen that this year from Naz in limited minutes, just due to rotation early on, more recently foul trouble. But if you take a look at those, I don't love looking at per 36 numbers because not very many guys actually play 36 minutes anyways, and there's other noise involved there. But his per 36 numbers have teased people all season. And if you go over to Basketball Reference and look at those, he's a per 36 star, I think you could say at this point. In games like this, really underscore that. I mean, he's only playing 22 minutes, but he puts up 13 and 5. Extrapolate that out. If he's able to play longer stretches, and he's a really dynamic player. We'll get more into him as he gets more playing time here in the next few weeks. I think he'll be a fun player to watch to see whether or not he could be a fit moving forward, either next to Towns as a four or just as the primary backup at the five. But Reed's a really dynamic offensive player. He's very nimble. He can score in a variety of ways around the basket and on the perimeter. And so he's been a lot of fun to watch. The dud portion, of course, is the foul trouble. And so it's hard for me to give him the full stud award for this game because of his issues staying on the floor and also rebounding. He did okay grabbing rebounds. And again, the Nuggets and Wolves each grabbed 38 rebounds on the game. But Reed continues to not struggle as a rebounder, but that's definitely an area that he could improve given his size and also the only real big on the roster for the Wolves, the only guy that's truly a center. He needs to improve a little bit in that category to be sure. All right, the other duds for this game for the Wolves, poor Juancho Hernan Gomez did not have a good return to Denver. That was mostly due to foul trouble as well. He picked up the two fouls in the first 3 minutes of the game and never got on track. He only had 2 points until midway through the fourth quarter before he hit a deep three, on a deep catch and shoot three, and then he had a put back basically in garbage time. So he finished with 7 points and four rebounds in 27 minutes, shot only 2 of 9 from the field. And, was okay defensively, kind of held his own, which is what he does on defense. But the Wolves need more than 7 and 4 out of him if Towns isn't going to play, if D'Angelo Russell's not going to play. So that was definitely a little bit disappointing. Jalen Noel also played the least amount of minutes on the Wolves, 16 minutes. And he had 6 points, 2 assists, was actually a +9 in his 16 minutes. But I'm going to give him a dud because he was 0-3 from beyond the arc, which has been a consistent theme for him at the NBA level. And you feel for him because you know he's a better shooter than that. He's making threes at a decent clip in the G League. So far for his NBA career, though, he's shooting 13% from beyond the arc over the 10 games he's played. Again, super small sample size, but this is just what the Wolves can't have out of Jalen Noel. They're calling him up to make threes, and for the season right now, he's 3 of 23 from beyond the arc. So he's got to figure out a way to make more threes when he's open. But that's for this game. There were a couple of missed corner threes that he really should have had, and that's enough to give him a dud. That's it for duds in this game. I mentioned Nasreed's foul trouble. I think that's where we can draw the line. The Wolves didn't have any outstanding individual performances or devastatingly bad ones. Jarrett Culver ended up with a nice line of 14, 5 assists and 3 rebounds, but he had a really rough stretch in the first quarter and a couple of really bad turnovers. James Johnson had a nice stat line of 13 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, but was a minus 22 in just 27 minutes. A lot of that was due to him being miscast as a backup center. He also ran the offense for a couple of stretches. So he's being asked to do a lot more than he probably should be as the veteran, the elder statesman on the team, a guy who can run offense and also can bang down low in the paint and compete as a big man. But still not a super strong game for him either. So putting a bow on the weekend, the theme was that the Wolves played well against two really good teams. They're two top five, top six teams in the league. They're both going to have home court advantage in the playoffs. The Wolves competed. We're within a single possession in the fourth quarter against both teams. They weren't blown out by any stretch of the imagination, although both of the opponents locked out at the end of the game like you would expect them to as strong teams that are going to have home court advantage in the playoffs. But the Wolves competed. They played hard. They were in the game. Now, Monday is a tough challenge. Second night of a back-to-back, traveling from Dallas to Denver, other way around actually, from Denver to Dallas to take on the Mavericks. The Mavs, of course, are 34-23. Although their home record's actually only 15-14. And the Wolves competed there earlier this year in December. It was right at the beginning of that long losing streak. I think it was the last game prior to the debacle in Oklahoma City with the Jordan Bell jersey untucked situation. And the Wolves played hard. They actually held Luka Doncic down in that game before ultimately losing. Of course, the Wolves will be without Lehman and Karl-Anthony Towns. Alan Crabb is day-to-day with personal reasons. We don't know what the issue was, so who knows if he'll be back on Monday. D'Angelo Russell's listed as day-to-day, but it sounded like the plan was for him to play Monday after resting on Sunday in Denver. The Mavericks have three guys listed as day-to-day on their injury report: Jalen Brunson, Luka Doncic, and Willie Cauley-Stein. So we'll see who's actually available for the Mavericks. Doncic is expected to play, is the word coming out of Dallas, so I would expect him to be on the floor. He hasn't missed any games. He has played in, he played on Friday when the Mavericks played the Magic in Orlando. So I would expect him to be available in this game as well. So obviously a tough matchup for the Wolves on the second night of a back-to-back with the Mavs resting since Friday, and Doncic should be available with no Towns for the Wolves. Although having D'Angelo Russell should give the Wolves a chance in this one at least. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. We'll be back on Tuesday to recap the Mavericks game from Monday night and talk about the rest of the week, looking ahead at what's on the schedule moving forward as well. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.